All right, welcome back. We are going to sing, I don't know if it's in, is it in here? I'm pretty sure it is. This whole book should be in there. The first one we're going to sing is It Is Well With My Soul, number 321 in the room. The next one is He Lives, number 550.
When he is like a river that sendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, wherever my heart thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Next one is what? He lives. Maestro says, I think you and the family should make a recording singing all the hymns in the key again. In person. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Maestro. That was nice. I just read your PM to the family. Okay, next one is He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He led Christ Jesus led today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He led salvation to impart. He blessed me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Today's children's story was provided to me by our lovely Bonnie, and it is titled The Flooded River. The other day, when I was telling some of the wonderful stories of answered prayer that I have been gathering through the years, an elderly woman asked me if she could tell me one. Of course, I said, and this is what she told me. It happened in the early pioneering days when the western part of North America was being opened up and when people still traveled in covered wagons. A gospel camp meeting was going to be held in the state of Washington on the Pacific coast, and Christian people from scattered farms and villages over a very wide area planned to attend. Some faced a journey of several hundred miles over the roughest and dirtiest dirt tracks imaginable in order to be present. Such a meeting, by the way, meant giving up many weeks of time for the journey, and if any accident happened, such as a wheel coming off the wagon or a horse or two getting lame, then the meeting might be over before the travelers could get there. One family set off in good time for this particular meeting, but owing to various delays, by the time they reached the Snake River, they had little more than a day left before the meeting was to begin. And they found the river in flood. Could anything have been more exasperating? Only a day left, and their path blocked by a sullen, surging stream of dangerous water. They appealed to the ferryman and offered him an extra sum of money if he would take them over. Not for $1 million, he said. But we shall be late for the meeting, they said, and we have come so far to attend it. Better miss the meeting than drown, was the only reply they received. But they did not want to miss the meeting, for they felt that God wanted them to be there. So they went to their wagon, and there, on their knees, told God all about it. Of course, it seemed foolish to ask Him to make the flooded river go down, but they thought of the experience of the children of Israel at the Red Sea and believed God could do the same again if He so desired. Then they looked out on the swollen stream and saw it was still in flood, rushing by with such volume and vehemence to say, "And I shall be in flood for weeks and weeks to come." Yet, if their prayer was to be answered, the river must not last like this for 2 days, let alone 2 weeks. Something must happen quickly, or the meeting would be over and they would have to retrace their steps in defeat and disappointment. They prayed again and went to sleep that night in faith, believing that the dear Lord Jesus would do something wonderful for them. And he did. Just what the natural cause may have been, they never found out. It sufficed that the things for which they asked came to pass. When they awoke on the morrow, the water had dropped several feet, all danger had passed, and the astonished boatmen ferried them over without question. God does answer prayer when, in faith, we believe his promises and trust in him. The end. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's amazing. That reminds me of the storms that we've been praying, you know, about in our little neck of the woods here. Whenever they get really, really violent and they head towards our house, we pray. And we've seen a few dozen in a row that have been diverted. So God does definitely answer prayers.
It's best in groups, too. And speaking of prayer, you can get on your knees. We're going to pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We trust you. We worship you. And we love you. We pray for the latter rain, as you suggest we should do so in Scripture. And we thank you for it. We thank you also for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and for blessing us with eyes that see. Thank you for changing the showbread today and letting us have new blessings of your truth from the living word. It's amazing how we can be in your scriptures for years and still find new things in it. It truly is a grand adventure, Father. Thank you also for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, whether it be for work they need or physical or spiritual healings. We thank you for hearing our prayers and blessing them where they need to be blessed, because you are their Father too. And thank you again for keeping us safe, keeping the ministry safe, and blessing those that help us do this work. And Father, I pray that you bridle Brother Gary's tongue so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. And let it be that hearts are cut this day. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, we can get together on this beautiful Northern California day out here anyway. And I pray it's beautiful, even if it's raining where you are or storming, that the Lord can give you the peace in the midst of your storm. And we can get together, and I pray that those signals for each of us will be strong and good so we can hear what the Lord has to tell each of us, including myself. Always gain something from these messages as the Lord had to me to give, because I need the blessing as well as you do. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Let's see what the Lord has to say. I'm sure most of us would understand what God is sharing with us in Revelation 14. Three angels' messages. And the first angel's message, which many of us don't study out as much as the other one, the other two, but it says in Revelation 14, verse 6, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people." That's why we're here. That's why we get together in this form that God has brought together through Brother Nick and others, and I praise the Lord for it. Verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." As we look at this verse, there's lots in here. But a point that I want to talk to you about today is the hour of his judgment is come. What does that mean? What does it mean, the hour of his judgment has come? I hope as we go through the study today, we can help understand this point in the first angel's message, because it is part of the first angel. And we speak a lot on the first and the second and the third, because in reality, as God gives us in Revelation 18, it's one message. Different parts of one message, trying to bring it together step by step by step by step. Teach us what he wants us to know. Sorry, Endure, if I'm lagging. Hope you're not lagging anywhere else. Okay, let's go back to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, there's a parable that God gives us. You can also find it in Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16. The same basic parable, but as you read it in the Gospels, each of the Gospels, rather than where telling the story and they bring out different points as like in Matthew 24, which most of us read. But you can also find the same Christ telling the same story in Mark chapter 13 and Luke 21. The same story, but each of the gospel writers tell it and bring up different points as Christ was telling them the end times. So today we'll read in Matthew 22, starting with verse 1. Matthew 22, starting with verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. As we read in Luke chapter 14, it gives the excuses of those who would not come. Then we continue reading on verse 4 of Matthew 22. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, the other to his merchandise. And the remnant took the servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready. But they which are bidden are not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, and few are chosen. There's lots and lots and lots in these verses, in this parable, that we can cover today. And we're just covering just a little bit, and I encourage you to continue the study from where we are reading today, and we can go forth and understanding more and more as we as we read. One thing we find in here is there are three different calls. And we read in Luke 6 or 14, it gives more details on those who are called. And those who are called first are his friends. Those who would be people who would be his acquaintances, his friend, because if you're going to have a king or make a supper, who do you want to call? Your friends normally. But for some reason, they didn't see a need to join in to the wedding or, as it calls in Luke 14, the supper. So they were decided, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm so busy. My plate is full. I'm really having troubles. Well, if I'm breaking up, let me go out for a moment and come back in and see if it works better. I'm sorry. We'll try it this way. Hopefully, Lord willing, we can have a better connection this way. And so, with the three calls, the first ones were his friends and his acquaintances, and he said, I'm too busy. I don't have time. So, in Luke 14, the parable tells us, then he went out into the local area to see in the neighborhood, to see if there's anyone who wanted to come to the feast. But if you were interested, if you weren't. So the man of the house asked his servants, everybody here? Well, there's still room. So he says, go out into the highways and the byways and because things are ready. The food is ready. I want to have others enjoy the blessing that God has given me. And here in Matthew 22, verse 9, it says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid for the marriage. Some accepted, some did not. But there is enough who came. There's a great, we can do the whole study just on the three calls, but I think we're just covered just a little bit. And of the three calls, the first ones, Spirit of Prophecy talked about, as concerning those who were God's people at the end. Am I breaking up bad enough now, or if I need to do it by phone, we can do that. I'm sorry, connection has been working, so I'll let go here and we'll finish it by through the phone.
Yeah, we're going to do it through the phone, everybody, so just give me a minute. I just want to make sure everybody can hear first. Yeah, you're coming through real bad. So, let me just set this up. Okay. Yeah, no, you were coming through good last night. All right, let me, I'm going to have to shut off my mic and then pipe you through, but it's going to get loud for me, so I'm going to take the headset off, so. About 5 seconds from now, right?
Sorry, brethren, that it's not coming through well. Do it this way and continue on the study because I believe it's a study that we each need to understand because it's. Okay, as we've been talking about, God had given three calls. The first call went to those who profess people at the days of Christ. He also traveled around to give those of where he was traveling in his ministry to give the message to those people that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He came to teach us the truth because his professed pastors were not teaching the truth. In fact, Spirit of Prophecy says, and the Bible talks about how when he came to teach the truth, everybody thought he was teaching error because of what it was taught before from God-professed teachers and preachers. So as time goes on, Christ dies, he raises again, and the call through Peter, through Paul, and others, the gospel goes to the Gentiles. And the third call, according to Christ's Object Lessons, page 309, the third call to the feast represents giving the gospel to the Gentiles. That's when you and I were invited, because I don't personally have any blood lineage through the sons of Jacob. So, you know, praise the Lord, the gospel came to me, and it was a decision that I was made before and am making now to accept that call. So what's the call for? Why did it go to us? Why didn't others accept the call? Why were they too busy, as we're told in Luke 14? Christ's Object Lessons, page 308, tells us, thus the Jewish people sealed their rejection of God's mercy. The result was foretold by Christ in the parable. The king sent forth his army and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. The judgment pronounced came upon the Jews in the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the nation. Remember in Matthew 23, verse 37, it tells us Christ told the Israel of the day, Jerusalem, and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Christ tried to wake them up. He did everything in his power. He taught the truth. He, in his life, he shared the truth. But the Jewish people, they were proud. They believed, and they didn't want to, well, my parents believe, so I'm going to believe. I'm a third generation. I'm a fifth generation. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. If God is with that church, that's fine. But if God is outside knocking on the door, as it says that he is on the outside of Laodicea Church in Revelation 3, he's standing outside the door knocking. Brothers and sisters, I want to be with a church where Christ is in the middle, that we're following him, that we came out, according to Revelation 18:4, to follow Christ, so we be not partakers of the sins. Also in Christ's Object Lessons, page 310, actually I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's called Without a Wedding Garment. Christ's Object Lessons, page 307 through 319. You can read the whole chapter maybe this later today or during the week and get the whole understanding as well as the Bible verses that we're sharing. So Christ's Object Lessons, page 310, says, by the king's examination of the guest at the feast is represented a work of judgment. The guests at the gospel feast are those who profess to serve God, those whose names are written in the book of life. But not all who profess to be Christians are true disciples. Before the final reward is given, it must be decided who are fitted to share the inheritance of the righteous. The decision must be made prior to the second coming of Christ in the clouds of heaven. For when he comes, his reward is with him, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's from Revelation 22, verse 12. Continues, it says, before his coming, then the character of every man's work will have been determined. And to every one of Christ's followers, the reward will have been apportioned according to his deeds. But I was taught through my growing up years in the Adventist Church, and still taught there in many independent ministries and churches, that the judgment comes is when Christ comes. But we're finding here, as we're reading today, but and we'll continue because we don't want to just base our belief on one verse. But what is a consensus of God's Word? Great Controversy, page 428. In the parable of Matthew 22, the same figure of the marriage is introduced, and the investigative judgment is clearly represented as taking place before the marriage. Previous to the wedding, the king comes in to see the guests, to see if all are attired in the wedding garments, which is a spotless robe of character, washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. We read that in Matthew 22:11 and Revelation 7:14. Continue reading, he says, he who is found wanting is cast out. Pardon me. He who is found wanting is cast out. But all upon examination are seen to have the wedding garment, are accepted of God and accounted worthy of the share of his kingdom and the seat upon his throne. The work of examination of character, of determining who are prepared for the kingdom of God, is that of the investigative judgment, the closing work of the sanctuary above. And then as we continue reading through Great Controversy in page 485, the work of the investigative judgment and the blotting out of sins is to be accomplished before the second advent of the Lord. We can also read that in Maranatha, page 251. So what is God trying to tell us here? Is it when Jesus comes, we stand before his throne and being part of the judgment at that time? How many times I've seen pictures portrayed that way? How many times I've heard that message? But the more I read, what I read is disagreeing with the messages. And as Christ tells us in Great Controversy, that the truth the truth exposes error and fanaticism. Let's continue reading. From the devotional book, This Day with God, the last, page 33. This Day with God, page 33. The last call to the supper is now being given. The lamp of the soul must be kept trimmed and burning by being replenished with the holy oil. The holy oil you can read from Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, explains that very well. Continue reading. In the name of the Lord, let every soul now depart from iniquity, lest the day of the Lord overtake them as a thief. The truth is to be proclaimed in clear, straight lines, but always as it is in Jesus. Amen. May every message that we share here be proclaimed in clear, straight lines, and always as it is in Jesus. It's interesting, as we read through this little paragraph that we just read, the last call of the supper is now being given, it says. Oh, that's a parable from Matthew 22 that we were started out with this morning. Then it talks about the lamp of the soul must be kept trimmed and burning, being replenished with the holy oil. Does that bring to mind the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. It does me. Also, as we continue reading through this paragraph, it says, in the name of the Lord, let every soul now depart from all iniquity, lest the day of the Lord overtake him as a thief. That sounds like the parable Christ is teaching us in Matthew 13. Also in Luke chapter 12 and other places. Christ uses that last illustration quite often. And I was always taught that the Lord is, you know, keep watch, otherwise the thief will come in and will steal things from you, and we need to be open and keep watch. And I've always was taught, growing up, and heard for many years as I was older, that that means it talks about the day of Christ coming in the clouds of glory. But yet, the more I read and study the subject of the investigative judgment and the decision that is being given, making, that is made, the decision that you and I are making before Christ comes, I believe that could come and take us as a thief in the night, come upon us as a thief in the night. Because we can be waiting for Christ to come in the clouds of glory for the judgment to come and not concerned about it, when actually it happens before he comes. And then we're not watching before he comes if we're believing that he comes, that judgment comes at Christ coming. Let's continue reading. Maybe that'll help explain a little better. Early writings, page 48. Jesus is in his holy temple and will now accept our sacrifices, our prayers, and our confessions of faults and sins, and will pardon all the transgressions of Israel, that they may be blotted out before he leaves the sanctuary. When Jesus leaves the sanctuary, then they who are holy and righteous will be holy and righteous still. For all their sins will then be blotted out, and they will be sealed with the seal of the living God. But those that are unjust and filthy will be unjust and filthy still. For then there will be no priest in the sanctuary to offer their sacrifices, their confessions, and their prayers before the Father's throne. Here in the middle of our quotation in early writings, page 48, we are given the text of Revelation 22, verse 11. It is what Christ says when he stands up and when he gets ready to leave the sanctuary. It's done. As that tells us here, when Jesus leaves the sanctuary, he pronounces Revelation 22:11. Let me read it again, because it is the pronouncement for you and me. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. What a pronouncement, because it told us in early writings, page 48, now Jesus, while he's in the holy, most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, is accepting our sacrifices, our prayers and confessions and faults, forgiveness of sins, pardons and transgressions. But when he stands up, he says, it's done. No more confession of sin. Let's read another one that might help us a little bit. Great Controversy, page 613. Great Controversy, 613. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and they are prepared for the trying hour before them. Angels are hastening to and fro in heaven, An angel returning from the earth announces that his work is done. The final test has been brought upon the world. In all who have proved themselves loyal to the divine precepts of the sanctuary above. Pardon me. All who have proved themselves loyal to the divine precepts have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. He lifts his hands and with a loud voice says, "It is done." And all the angelic hosts lay off their crowns as he makes the solemn announcement. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. What an announcement. Brothers and sisters, now is the day of our salvation. Now is the day that we should be concerned on where we are taking our stands. It's not to wait till Christ comes and then make our decision. It's not to wait for the National Sunday Law, the Universal Sunday Law, to make the decisions on where we're going to stand, whether it's going to be with Christ and to receive his seal or receive the mark of the beast. When are we going to make our decision? And when we make our decision, what's it going to be? Or we read in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 36. And ye yourselves, like unto men, that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that may be opened unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to eat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had come, had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Brothers and sisters, again, I believe this is the time when we are concerned, need to be concerned for our salvation, need to be concerned on our words, our ideas, our thoughts. Are our thoughts and our minds controlling us? Or by God's grace, we're controlling the thoughts through Christ's help? Are we gaining victory over our sins, one step at a time, or entirely as God provides for us? Brothers and sisters, I believe now is the day in which we need to be concerned of the investigative judgment. For Revelation chapter 14, verse 7 says, "For the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of water." What is our decision, brothers and sisters? Are we going to follow God's word, or are we going to follow a popular teaching that from my studies, and this is just a capsule of from my studies, that now is the day we need to be concerned on our decision for Christ? Jesus died that we may have eternal life. The wages of sin is death. What are we going to choose? It's our choice. Are we coming to the banquet? Are we wanting to come to the wedding? Or are we too busy? Are we too busy to spend time with the Lord daily? Are we too busy to take time to pray? Because we can be too busy. We move out to the country and then we can spend time with the Lord. I lived out in the country for some years, and brothers and sisters, if I don't stop and take time for the Lord, I can be too busy out here in the country. As you can be too busy in the city, because I've had that problem too. You can be too busy in the country. You can be too busy in the city. You can be too busy whatever you're doing, because the devil is happy to make us busy, happy to bring new things to our mind, to be so busy we don't have time for God. I pray as we make the decision that it is for the Lord, that Joshua told the children of Israel, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Seek ye the day whom ye will serve, and let it be the Lord. I pray, that's my prayer today for each of us, that we will seek the Lord, be to his name's honor and glory as we go forward, and we can spend eternity together, we can actually see each other, we can meet each other, and just, you know, it would be so wonderful. May we be faithful and each one do our part in the Lord's work. Amen.
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 The only way for me to listen to it is to actually listen to it on the radio, because it won't work that way for me. I'm broadcasting. I can't get any sound down here. I'm going to go run upstairs. We'll sing, and we'll pray. Do we have a second song, by the way? Because we're going to sing our regular one song, and I think Bonnie said she might have something for in this song. And what Brother Gary was sharing with the busy thing on the end there, too, I think, Bonnie, did you send that video out to everybody, or was it somebody else? Because it was the video, somebody did a video about how Satan makes everybody busy. Busy, 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 busy. It's only like about a 5-minute video. I can't remember what it was. It's on YouTube. And, it was from Michelle W. Okay. Yeah, it was very good. And you should share it with some of the brethren afterwards. But thank you very much, Brother Gary. He could probably hear us because he stayed in the room, which is a good way of doing it, you know. That way you can watch the text chat if you're near your computer while they're on the phone. And, hey, Nika, Sabbath blessings to you. And I set it up now, since we're probably going to be doing it on the phone more often now to make it just easier for Brother Rob and Gary. I have special names now so that when, instead of it sounding like I'm the one speaking, it looks like it says Nick, you know, and then the voice is, no. Next time it'll be Pastor Gary on phone or Pastor Robert on phone. So that's how it'll be from now on, that way, because otherwise it looks like I'm getting the credit here and it's not right. And there's no credit to be had, I understand. It's just, it seems a little bit more, you know, unconfusing. Anyway, be right back. I'm going to go run upstairs and sing. And do we have a second song, though? Oh, we don't? Okay, so we're just going to sing the one song. And then we'll pray. I'll be right back. I got to go upstairs.
I'm singing Oh, I Love You.
Oh, what are we singing? Huh? Whoops. That narrows it down. 7, 6, 5, or 8. Okay. Oh, here it is. Now this one is 6. Okay. And we got different numbers in these books because this goes back to the Indiana Convocation.
Okay.
We misnumbered some stuff. Okay, so How I Love Jesus, number 131, for those of you that are in the room.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name. us perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for me.
Heavenly Father, thank you once again so much for blessing us with the changing of the showbread. Thank you for giving us wisdom and understanding and opportunities to share what we understand today with others that need to hear this truth. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with that hedge of angels all throughout the week, especially while we're sleeping, when we're so vulnerable. And some of us even sleep while we walk, and so, Father, we pray that you open our eyes to some of the dangers that we're walking into. Thank you again for blessing the ministry, the family, and all those that are on our prayer list with everything that we need to do your work and to live life in a happy way, in a peaceful way. And thank you again for blessing us with an ability, with this technology, to be able to share your truths with others all the way around the world. And thank you for letting it be used to glorify you and you alone. And we lift up those that are in need, whether it be work, spiritual, or physical blessings. We pray, Father, to be blessed where they need to be blessed. And thank you for giving us the courage to stand in these trials, because the ones in the days ahead are going to be a lot rougher. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't
you
want to wait for another song?
No, we weren't going to have another song. Mm-hmm.